Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Some commands of God are specific to certain situations. Keep the Sabbath day in whatever sense it is meant to apply to us still today in the New Testament, and I'm not going to get into that right now. Whatever sense it is intended to be still for us is clearly limited to that one day in seven. Likewise, the command to forgive is of particular importance when you perceive someone else to have wronged you. The instruction for husbands to love their wives only directly applies to you if you are currently married. But it is striking how many of God's commands are universal in their relevance. They apply to every human being, in every situation, through every day. They are to be obeyed whether you are young or old, whether you are rich or poor, whether you're working or retired, whether you're sick or healthy, whether you're male or female, whether you're married or single. Just as a few examples, every person is to love God and to love their neighbor. Jesus says that is actually the fullness of God's command, hanging in those two commands, summed up in those two commands. We are to love God and we are to love our neighbor no matter what, no matter who we are, no matter our circumstances, no matter what our background. Also, the scripture says everything that has breath is to be constantly praising Yahweh, the one true and living God. Psalm 150, verse 6. Everything, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That applies to you if you're breathing today. Also, of course, it is never okay to kill or steal or covet. Paul preached to both Jews and Gentiles repentance to God and faith toward Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. It's not just for people with a certain background or people who were like Paul or people that Paul thought were more likely to obey, but he preached to Jews and Gentiles, to people who, all of them actually, unbelievers at the time in Christ, that they needed to repent and believe, repentance to God and faith toward Jesus Christ. We ought always, no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstance, no matter what the world around us is saying, no matter what advertisements we're surrounded with, we ought always to be loathing what is evil and ought to be holding fast to what is good. That's what Paul says in Romans 12:9. Loathing, stirring up in our hearts a loathing for what is evil. And holding fast with all our might to what is good. We are to be praying without ceasing, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So there are commands that are specific to certain people or certain situations that are limited in their very nature. Yet there are many, many obligations, scriptural instruction that apply to every person in every situation, no matter what their particular circumstances may be. And a command that we, I think, unconsciously tend to relegate to that first category, specific people in specific situations, appropriate for certain seasons or occasions in life, is the command to thanksgiving. I said unconsciously because I'm not sure any of us would necessarily, if we were asked, admit to that, but I'm just saying how we practice it, how we think about it. We think about it often as a, or maybe we only think about it when there is a certain season of life or a certain occasion that is happening in our life. We feel the obligation to be grateful when we receive a bonus at work that we weren't even expecting, and we know that we had nothing to do with even really bringing it to pass. It just dropped in our lap. Or a clean biopsy report that we know good and well we could not bring to pass, and we saw the doctor's helplessness, and yet we received this good news anyway. An unexpected break in the weather, even on a day when we had certain plans, and it looks like those plans are going to be ruined, and then the day breaks forth and there's sunny skies, or if you're a farmer and you're hoping for rain, all of a sudden it starts pouring down. But a sudden break in the weather, then we feel obligated. We know good and well we didn't do that. We know that nobody else brought that to pass. We know only God is in control of the weather. And so we feel obligated in those times. We feel a sense of obligation to be grateful, as we ought. And of course, we are supposed to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day, right? Around this time of year, we know we're supposed to be thankful. We know we're supposed to be offering up thanks to God. The Bible, though, makes it plain that a grateful spirit is to characterize our everyday life, our actions, our aspirations, our motivations, that in everything we do, we are to be thinking in relation to how good God has been to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. It doesn't matter what your circumstances, it doesn't matter what your background, it doesn't matter if you came to know the Lord early on and you were blessed to avoid many mistakes and regrets, or if you just recently have come to know the Lord and you have a whole baggage trunk full of mistakes and regrets. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even when we remember, and sometimes we don't do this, even when we remember to take our needs to the Lord in prayer, you know, instead of just immediately thinking, what can I do to fix this situation? Or how can I make things better with my wife? Or I need to address this with my kids. Rather than taking our needs immediately to the Lord, oftentimes we try to come up with our own solutions. But even when we remember to take our needs to the Lord in prayer, it is easy to forget, isn't it? To take our requests to God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Even our deepest longings, even our most urgent prayer requests to God are to be made, we are explicitly told in Scripture, with thanksgiving. Paul is actually talking about that in Philippians 4:6, and he's talking about a person who is wrestling with anxiety. They're struggling, actually, obviously, with the present and the future. That's why they're wrestling with anxiety. That's why they are concerned. And yet, Paul says to them, don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but remember this, in everything by prayer and supplication. So in other words, take it to God in prayer. And when you do take it to God in prayer, know that God is in control of the situation. And let that calm your nerves. Let that calm your anxieties. But that's not all. Take it to God with supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God. Isn't that interesting? To go to God with our deepest longings, our most urgent prayer requests, the fears that strike a knife deep into our heart, and we take it to God and we cry out to God, and we are to remember even then, or maybe especially then, that we are to remember to give thanks in the same breath that we offer up our life's deepest needs to God. Worrisome circumstances should be accompanied by not just supplication, but also thanksgiving. How is that even possible? I mean, especially in our age and culture, which perhaps struggles with discontent as much as any in history, what does constant gratitude even look like? What does that even look like? I think we all maybe can immediately think of someone, probably not ourselves, but we can think of someone or some few people that we've known who did seem to be sort of constantly grateful. It seemed like even when they were suffering, or actually it's oftentimes the people who we know who've suffered the most, they seem to just spill out with thanksgiving all the time. And we've seen it in action sort of, but we still wonder, how does that happen? How do you do that? How do you get to that point? How do you get to that stage? What does it look like for constant gratitude to be pouring out of your heart? Well, it begins with first understanding what true biblical thanksgiving consists of, I would even say is defined as. What does biblical thanksgiving consist of? How does the Bible define it? Because biblical gratitude to God is centered in the gospel. And then echoes back to God in thanksgiving for who He is for us in Jesus Christ. You may have even picked up on that in the passage we began with. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it is centered in, this command even is flowing out of the gospel and then commanding an echo back to God in thanksgiving for who He is for us in Jesus Christ. Listen, every other motivation for thanksgiving will run dry. Maybe you're thankful for how things are going in your family, but what happens when things don't go well in your family? Maybe you're thankful for your health, but what happens when you lose your health? Maybe you're thankful for the pretty day and the break in the weather, but what happens when the weather turns against you and what you're desiring? Every other motivation for thanksgiving will run dry. But, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, when you center your thoughts and your faith and your thinking and therefore your gratitude in the gospel, in the salvation that is yours because of who God is, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, proclaim that His name is exalted. So not only is it a fact that every other source of joy and therefore of gratitude will run dry, but Isaiah says, when you dip into the wells of salvation, not only do they never run dry, you will not only experience joy, but you will, in that day, overflow in thanksgiving. Because the wells of salvation are overflowing for you. And so we want to consider this morning this biblical understanding of thanksgiving by considering it in this format. First of all, gratitude is worship and understanding that. Secondly, gratitude is walking in Jesus. And thirdly, because of those first two points, so gratitude should be constant. So first of all, gratitude is worship. Why is God so interested? I mean, and he is interested. Just if you have a concordance or a Bible software, just type in thanksgiving or thanks in your search engine and see how interested all over the scriptures God is in this topic. Why is God so interested in our authentic expressions of thanksgiving? It's because gratitude in our hearts is inseparably connected with a healthy view of ourselves, of this world, and our relation to God. You see, when we have a wrong view of ourselves, yes, gratitude is difficult. One, we can have a view of ourselves that says, you know, I pretty much deserve the things that I am enjoying. And in fact, I feel like I enjoy more. I feel like I deserve more. I deserve more than what I'm enjoying. I deserve more blessings. I deserve to have 2 days of sunshine in a row, not just this day. I deserve to have a healthy report every time I go to the doctor, not just this biopsy report. Or also, though, we can be burdened with guilt and think, you know, I don't deserve anything. And I can't believe that God would love me considering the person that I am and the mistakes that I've made and the kind of sins that I have committed even willfully this week. And it's hard to be grateful, to express overflowing joy and thanksgiving to God when you feel like God is angry with you and you feel like there is a burden of guilt that you cannot get rid of on your shoulders. But gratitude in our hearts is inseparably connected with a healthy view of ourselves, but also of this world and what this world has to offer. Just a limited expectation of what this world can even do for you. Every advertisement is claiming that every product can do everything for you. I mean, just look at any commercial for laundry detergent. You inseparably connected with that is not only that this laundry detergent will clean the spots out of your clothes, but you will be smiling like this person who's doing laundry, and your hair will be all nice and well done, like this person who's doing laundry, and you'll drive a nice car like this person who's doing the laundry. And you see, the subliminal message is for every product, really, that is out there. If you drink this, if you buy this, if you wear this, then finally you will experience that satisfaction and you'll have kept up with the Joneses and better. You'll be happy in your life's situation. But gratitude reflects an attitude in our hearts that is inseparably connected with a healthy view of this world and a limited view, therefore, of what this world can even offer us. So that we're not constantly asking, God, why haven't you given me this? Why can't I enjoy this? Why don't these people like me? Why am I not more popular? Why don't I fit in this crowd? Why can't I have this job? But just recognizing, you know, you could have all those things. In fact, you could have everything Satan offered to Jesus, the kingdoms of the world, and it would be nothing without Jesus. And so, therefore, gratitude in our hearts is inseparably connected with a healthy view of our relationship to God as well. We recognize that this world cannot supply our heart's needs. And so we recognize that what we need is God. And then we recognize that what God has given us is Himself. He has given us precisely what we so desperately needed, what we can only find joy, lasting joy in. And so genuine gratitude is worship. And worship is the response of a soul that has properly apprehended the majesty, the goodness of God to us, and specifically the goodness of God to us in Jesus Christ. Because it is impossible to come to God acceptably in a way that God accepts, or appropriately, without choruses of gratitude in our hearts and on our lips. God knows how good He is, and He also knows how good He has been to us. And He knows that if we are appropriately understanding that, if we are truly by faith seeing what He has, who He is for us and what He has done for us, then we will be responding with gratitude. Enter His gates, Psalm 104 says, with thanksgiving. To put it less poetically, don't even think about coming before the presence of God without gratitude. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Notice the parallel there, praise and thanksgiving. You cannot praise God without thanking God. You cannot come and desire to worship God and not be grateful to God for what He has done for you. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. There it is again, this parallel. Be thankful and bless His name. Part of ascribing to God the glory that He deserves, a necessary part of it, is expressing gratitude because we see ourselves properly, we see the world properly, and we see ourselves in relation to God properly. So being consistently grateful is not a matter, hear me on this, is not a matter of personality. As though some people are morning people, some people are optimists, and some people just have a grateful heart. You know what I'm talking about? We're tempted to think like that. There's morning people, there's those optimists, they all drive me crazy. And then there's those people who are always grateful. No, this is not a personality trait. Sincere gratefulness to God is the result of faith. That's what we're saying. Sincere gratefulness to God is the result of faith. It is the inevitable result of having your eyes open to behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That God has in Christ brought the salvation that you so desperately needed, you could not achieve for yourself, and yet is more than sufficient for everything you need. So gratitude is a factor of faith. It is the result of genuine faith in God. The heart that is embracing the reality of God's grace is a heart that is overflowing in grateful worship to God for all His goodness. Let me say that again, and then let's think about the implications of that. The heart that is embracing the reality of God's grace is a heart that is overflowing in grateful worship to God for all His goodness. So, let's take that backwards and let's take it negatively and say it this way. If my heart is not overflowing in grateful worship to God for all His goodness, it means that I am not embracing the reality of God's grace like I ought to. It means that for some reason, some challenge that has happened that has skewed my view of God, and now I think of God as not maybe malicious, but at least mischievous. What is He up to anyway? Or has skewed my view of myself. I am unsavable. I am unredeemable. There's no way that God could save me. I'm such a sinner. I've made so many mistakes. There's no way He can undo all that. A heart that is embracing the reality of God's grace is a heart that is overflowing in grateful worship to God for all His goodness. And so it means we don't see, we do not perceive the goodness of God like we ought to when we are not overflowing in grateful worship. And because God's grace infuses our entire life with purpose, with hope, with joy, then it is only appropriate that we be always grateful. Because God's grace infuses, I mean, just injects overflowing life into our life, purpose into every day of our life, hope for every day of this life and for eternity, joy as a result of that. Because God's grace sticks all that and just injects it into our life, then it is only appropriate that we be always grateful. Because of what God is doing for us all the time, it is only appropriate that we be always grateful. Constant worship is the proportionate response of faith to what God has given us in Jesus. Let me say that again. Constant worship, in other words, this command to in everything give thanks. Constant worship is merely, we might say, the proportionate response of faith to what God has given us in Jesus. If we could only take in what God is doing for us in Jesus, if we could put aside the distractions, if we could lay aside the guilt, if we could humble our pride, if we could look at God and what He's doing for us in Jesus, constant worship is just the proportionate response to the constant goodness of God to me in Jesus. And so that leads us to our second point. Gratitude is walking in Jesus. Gratitude is worship, but gratitude is also walking in Jesus. Paul gives us an incredible insight regarding a grateful spirit in his letter to the Colossian church. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, he says that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So let me just go back over that real quick, because it was kind of a lot of little pieces, a lot of little phrases stuck together in one sentence. But Paul here connects abundant thanksgiving with receiving Jesus as Lord, with walking in Jesus, with being built up in Jesus, with having a well-established faith in Jesus. In other words, Jesus is necessary for this thing. It means receiving Jesus as Lord, walking in Jesus, being built up in Jesus, having a well-established faith in Jesus. So Jesus is at the core. Jesus is absolutely essential for this abundant thanksgiving that Paul is talking about. In other words, biblical thanksgiving is not merely being happy with what you have. That's not what biblical thanksgiving is. Or being generally, and we sometimes are even generically appreciative of some pleasant experience that has come my way. Or even feeling unworthy of the good things you enjoy. That can sometimes feel like a sort of gratitude. I don't feel worthy of these things. Those things do not biblical thanksgiving make. Biblical thanksgiving is consciously and exclusively grounded in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior through faith. Let me put it as frank as I can. God is not pleased with people who are merely pleased when something good happens to them. God is not pleased with people who are merely pleased when something good happens to them. To reiterate Jesus' own point, don't even the Gentiles do that? Even an unbeliever can be thankful when they have some pleasant or desirable experience. The question, though, is to whom or what are they thankful? A superstition person is thankful to their lucky stars when something nice comes their way. A pagan will see any good thing as a reward for their idol worship or sacrifices, and so they'll bow down once again to their idol to give thanks and sacrifice once again to their idol. Even the atheist may express gratefulness. I've heard, in fact, avowed atheists express gratefulness or a sense of unworthiness for the good things he has experienced or the bad things from which he has been spared. That is not what we're talking about when we're talking about biblical thanksgiving. It is not merely being pleased when something good happens to us. Only the Christian can offer up acceptable thanksgiving to the God of heaven, because the Christian is grateful not just to the fates, not just to the powers that be, but for God's grace in and through Jesus Christ. Notice this inescapable point to Paul's words a couple of chapters later in his same letter to Colossae. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by or through Jesus. So in everything, no matter what it is you're doing, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything, whether you're eating, whether you're drinking, whether you're going to work, whether you're raising your kids, whether it's a cloudy day, whether it's a sunny day, in everything, in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father only through Jesus. That's the only way God is pleased with the thanksgiving. If it's connected through faith in what God has done for you in Jesus. Everything we do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Gratitude that is not in the name of the Lord Jesus, or thanksgiving to God that is not by Jesus, is not acceptable, is not pleasing even to God. Only gratitude that arises out of a personal walk with Christ is a gratitude that truly honors God. Put another way, the gratitude that is commanded by God is not satisfied by people saying, I don't care about your son, Jesus Christ. I don't believe in him, but I really do appreciate the job promotion. God is not satisfied with any thanksgiving that is not through his son, Jesus. Just any expression of thanksgiving then will not do, will it? Only those things that we do in the name of Jesus our Lord, and only the thanks we offer to God by Jesus Christ are acceptable or pleasing to God. And so, as a result of this consideration that gratitude is worship and gratitude is walking in Jesus, in Jesus alone. As a result of that, though, gratitude should therefore be constant. It should be constant. It's because gratitude is worship and the result of a consistent walk with Jesus as our Savior that we are therefore commanded to be constantly grateful. We can never worship God too much. We can never worship God too much. We ask ourselves, how can you be giving? How can you be grateful all the time? I mean, in the ups and the downs and the challenges and so on. But has anybody ever asked, how can I fit enough thanksgiving into this day to be appropriate for what God is doing for me every second of this day in Jesus Christ? How can I possibly praise him enough? How can I possibly be grateful enough? So that even when I take my anxieties and my challenges and my deepest heart longings to God in supplication, at the same time, I'm doing it with thanksgiving because I'm saying, Lord, thank you that I have you to come to with my anxieties, the God of the universe. And that because of Christ, I have every proof that you are concerned for my good, and that you're working to overcome my own personal failures and the sin in the world around me for my good. And so even when I come to you and I am scared, or I am hurting, or I am lonely, or I am impatient for this trial to be over, I will come and I will supplicate. Because you invite me to, you command me to, you tell me to take my needs to you in prayer. In fact, to come boldly to the throne of grace that I may obtain help in my time of need. That you are a refuge in the time of trouble. And so I will supplicate with all my might. I will cry out to you. But at the same time, I'm going to be singing your praises. I'm going to be thanking you for what you have already given me. What you've already done for me, what you have promised to me in the future, the things that are certain that I can count on in this uncertain world. And it's the things that matter for all eternity. And they are mine because of Jesus Christ. We can never worship God too much. And we can never walk too closely with His Son, Jesus. Right? If gratitude is a factor of walking in Jesus, we can never do this too much. Right? We never get to the point where we're like, nah, Jesus is just too close a friend. He knows me too well. He's all the time concerned about everything that's going on in my life. He loves me completely. No matter what I'm doing, no. I just got to hold him at arm's length. We never get to a point where we are walking too closely with Jesus. And so, because gratitude is worship and gratitude is walking with Jesus, and we can never worship God too much. We can never walk too closely with His Son, Jesus. So there is never a time. There is never a time when our heart should not be overflowing in gratitude for all the blessings we enjoy because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. There's never a time where that's appropriate to not be overflowing in gratitude. Every moment of every day is due gratitude to God. Now, if that sounds still, though, like a hard saying, because I think that's how we take, this is so ironic, isn't it? That's how we take so many of the commands that are like relentless. Pray without ceasing. We can't pray without God in Jesus. We can scream our voices to the heavens, and they would be brass to us if it were not for Jesus. But because of Jesus, we have access to the throne room of heaven. And yet when God says, hey, you come and you just stay here. Bring your tent and camp out in the throne room. You pray without ceasing. We're like, oh, man, He's always commanding me stuff. All these hard things, these instructions I always have to follow. Isn't that ironic that we take it that way? Well, similarly with gratitude, when He says, be thankful in everything, we take it as a hard saying, merely a relentless obligation. It is a relentless obligation. But merely a relentless obligation is how we take it. If that is the case with you, then let me put it another way. There is never a time we should not be giving thanks to God because, for Jesus' sake, God is relentlessly working in you, relentlessly working around you for your good. That's why. There is never a moment in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ where God is not working constantly, relentlessly in you and around you for your good. 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sakes. Think about that. All things are for your sakes. It's funny, we skew everything in our mind by nature, And one of the things we do by nature is we put ourselves at the center of the universe and we wonder why everybody else doesn't agree that we should be at the center of the universe. And so everything is judged and everybody else is judged by their relationship to us and how they treat us and what we expect of them. And that's, of course, ridiculous because we're not at the center of the universe. And yet, amazingly, what God does do is say, you're not at the center of the universe. God's at the center of the universe. But everything is working together for your good. It is way bigger and better than you even imagined in your best natural state when you thought you were the center of the universe. It's way better than that. Everything is working for your good as a believer in Jesus Christ. All things are for your sake. Why is the rain coming on the day that you plan the picnic? For your sake. God made the weather for your sake. Why did the report come back not clean, cancerous, instead of a clean biopsy? For your sake. Why was the traffic pattern such that you took 20 more minutes than normal to get in today and you're frustrated the moment you clock in? For your sake, God worked the traffic patterns today. Because He cares about you and He's concerned for you. And He wants to shape and mold you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, whatever it takes. And so all things are for your sakes. For you Bible students in the crowd, you may be squirming, you're uncomfortable with someone saying everything happens for you. Because that's not the whole truth, is it? Because you know, as a Bible student, that this is not a you-centered world, but a God-centered one. And so when we say everything, I mean, that's what Paul says here. Everything is happening for your sakes. When we say that, you're like, But I want us to at least take it in first before we move on and just take that in, that Paul does say everything happens for you. And then we ask, what about God's glory? And God says, exactly. Exactly. That is where thanksgiving comes in. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sakes. Guess what? So that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So yes, God is working in this world for His glory. But guess how He's doing it? He's making everything happen for your sake. So that, in working relentlessly for your good, every moment of your life, the echo, the response, the overflow of that would be, thank God, all the time. And so through the thanksgiving of many, this working of everything together for our good redounds to the glory of God. It is actually through that ceaseless thanksgiving that He commands us that God is supposed to be getting the glory that He deserves. And so the writer of Hebrews sums up the matter well with these words. By Him, Jesus, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. By Jesus, because of what Jesus has done to us, therefore, based on that, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Because it's always, He's always worthy of it. It's always appropriate. It's proportional to the good that He is working in our lives. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior have right now, present tense, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Right now. Biblical gratitude is worship. It's the sacrifice of praise that is truly pleasing to God as our lips are giving thanks to His name by Jesus for this fact that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places right now are ours in Christ. When we center then our thanksgiving in the gospel, let me just conclude with this thought. In what God has done and is doing and will certainly do forever. When we center our thanksgiving in that, trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation, the question becomes not how could God command us to give thanks in every circumstance, but rather how could we not be thanking God all the time for what He's doing for us all the time in Jesus? Why would we not be grateful? Why would we not be grateful? And the answer to that question, why would we not be grateful, is this, clearly. We only struggle with gratitude when we have a false perception of reality. When we have a faithless perception of reality. In other words, when things are better than we currently imagine or even believe, that's when we struggle with gratitude. When things are better than we can even imagine or believe. When there's a false perception of reality, that's when we struggle with gratitude. Because the reality is this in the gospel. There is never a time in our day or an occasion in our life that the goodness of God in Jesus is not at work in our lives. When God is not loving us, when God is not receiving us, when God is not moving to us and not moving for us in our affliction, there's never a time when that is not the case. So there is never a time in our day, there's never an occasion in our life that God is not worthy of our greatest expressions of gratitude in Jesus' name. If you have come to see that the only true well of joy is the well of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, God's Savior, we give you the opportunity to publicly profess Him as we sing this song. May God bless you.